Let us pray. Most holy and eternal Lord God, in thy sovereignty thou hast brought us to gather on this occasion. And all we do pray as we gather to commit our beloved friend to Mother Earth. We do pray especially for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be felt, both in our hearts and within these walls. We especially pray for our dear beloved friend Ruth in her great loss. Thou wilt be a husband to her and support her in this time of great need. Give her that strength for this day and for the unknown steps of the future. And oh, we pray for her dear children and their loved ones. We would lovingly commit them to thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless them and favour them and the dear grandchildren and great-grandchildren too. And oh, may the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob be their God and ours. And may they be guided and directed of thee and given that faith to look wholly to a precious Jesus. And Lord, do sanctify this service to us each. And may it be a solemn reminder to us, O Lord, that death is now upon the road with each of us, whether we realise it or not. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and speak to each of our souls, that we might hear thy voice. May there yet be many born again in these solemn dark days. We pray for comfort to each one of the dear family, and that there may be in all the sorrow the blessing indeed. For we sorrow not as they that are without hope. Lord, we come as sinners. We need thee to wash us in that precious blood of Jesus, to cleanse us from all sin. And we would come with what we hope to sing later. Fail I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. Do be with us now. Grant that needed help in speaking, help to the beloved family and to a dear Ruth particularly. And may it be a time of the Son of Man upon the earth. Do be with us and forgive all our many, many sins, anything we've uttered amiss. And oh, do wipe away the tears of sorrow and grant those tears of joy. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing the first hymn on the hymn sheet. I would say, beloved friends, that all three hymns were chosen by dear Aubrey, and I believe they speak the experience of his own heart. Hymn number one, Awake, my soul in joyful lays, to sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me, his loving kindness, oh how free. The first hymn. three portions from God's holy word, which our beloved friend recorded with the hymns that we were to sing today. The first is Psalm 24. I believe each of these psalms and the prophecy of Isaiah we hope to read were made a real blessing to dear Aubrey. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. And then he recorded Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger for ever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then finally, he recorded the 12th chapter of Isaiah. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. May the Lord bless those three sacred portions to our souls. Let us sing the second hymn. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. The second hymn.
Thank you.
One feels it a great honour to take this service of our beloved friend. We have walked together for a goodly number of years now, and especially in the 14 years since I have been pastor, we've had some good times, sweet times together in conversation, though he didn't speak much of the things of God, not to anything to glory in himself, but what the Lord had done. And I would begin by conveying our deepest sympathy to dear Ruth and to each of you dear children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. May your dear father and dear husband and dear grandfather's God be your God and our God. We are told in the Word of God that instead of the fathers shall come up the children. And oh, may we have, as I tried to pray at the commencement, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob to be our God. There are many false gods about today, and may the Lord wean us of them all and bring us to serve him. I know our beloved friend would not wish me to say anything to lift up him today. But to lift up the Lord Jesus, that this service may be to his honour, the honour and glory of God, and that was his wish. The family have given me a few things which I will try and extract a little from, just of natural things, first of all, and then I'll come to the spiritual. Our beloved friend was born and he lived within 50 yards of the place where he was born, which is quite a unique thing, really. The only time he lived away was, as we will come to in a moment, the war years. Many might think that he lived a quiet and sheltered life, but we find with him in many ways he was an extraordinary man and had many talents. And he achieved much during his life. He was born into a happy, loving family, and he had an elder brother, Morris, a sister, Frieda, and a younger brother, Clifford, which sadly he has now been taken from this earth within the last few days. May the Lord comfort his widow. He went to the newly built battle school in Hailsham, and in the class was good at maths. Outside, outdoors, he enjoyed cricket and was in the school team. He played at the county cricket ground at Hove on occasions. He left school at the age of 14 and started work on the family farm. He was a teenager when the Second World War started. would see the military planes overhead. He remembered as a boy the excitement of seeing the British Spitfires flying overhead, but also he feared in the night as he heard the German bombers heading north toward London. In July 1943, he was called to join the army after training in Canterbury, Chester, and Cornwall, his regiment headed to Liverpool, where he set sail to North Africa and was a gunner in the Royal Artillery. He later told us that during his medical, it was discovered that he had flat feet. This fact meant that he was unsuitable for an infantry regiment. The fact that he thanked God for later on, as he saw the worst, was spared the worst of the fighting, although he was aware of thousands of young men who lost their lives serving in the front line, where he would have been destined if he had passed the medical. In 1944, the regiment headed east across Africa and spent many months in Italy providing artillery backup to the front line. He was soon an experienced soldier serving his king and country in the Far East land. He was still only 19 years old. He told of one night when their position was under attack from enemy bombs, and he feared for his life. He spoke of how he found his Bible at the bottom of his kit bag and read it in a new way, a clue as to how his faith was developing at that time. As the war progressed, he spent time working with the military police and saw many German prisoners of war. As the war came to an end, he was moved to a desk job at GHQ, and his math skills were put to good use. Here he also learned how to type and other administration skills, which served him well through his whole life. Even in the last days, his paperwork was always in perfect order. In 1946, he returned to Sussex and to the family business. He was keen to learn about business and farming. He read many books and studied for a time at Agricultural College. In the years to follow, the business grew substantially. Working with his brother Morris, they expanded the farm and mill. And though times were tough, they were gaining a good reputation in the farming community, as G. Dan and Sons lorries would often be seen out and about delivering feed to farms. During the following 20 years, the family business grew steadily, and his father retired. And with this, Morris and he took the helm. During this time, the business was now supplying animal feed to farms across Sussex under the name of Southdown Feeds. Also dairy farming and growing crops, a pig farm and a second dairy farm was to follow, then turkeys, chicken and sheep. In 1966, he met a Dutch businessman who shared similar business interests. He was a godly man. They became very good friends. The business soared, showed many challenges in early 1970, yet with investment from Holland continued to grow. It was during this period that his brother Morris tragically died. This was a huge weight now upon running the business for Aubrey, and was very grateful for the support of his Dutch friend. The pig farm grew, and butchers followed processing of 1,500 pigs per week to be sold to the new Marks and Spencer's store, food stores. The business grew for several more years, and at one point was employing over 200 people, regularly travelling to Holland for meetings, and travelled twice to America to learn about the US milling and farming industry. The business saw many changes, and the Dutch company took the majority shareholding in the UK company. His role in the business changed, and he was tasked to set up the UK Grain Trading Office. Crawley was chosen because of the proximity of Gatwick Airport. This period in time was long before the arrival of fax and email, so important documents for the US would be rushed to the airport to travel in the captain's bag, ensuring next day delivery to New York and Chicago. In the years to follow, the business was wound down and eventually sold off. Emotional time for our beloved friend this was, but yet a further blessing. He would build up a sizable chicken farm and turn two old farm cottages into holiday homes. Soon after this, he started a business selling pelleting equipment to mills all over the UK, this equipment coming from Holland. This business grew and provided him a good income for the next 10 years. It was about this time that Aubrey had the opportunity to buy the old barn next door at the part of the dairy farm for many, been part of the dairy farm for many years, and enjoyed the next year so turning this derelict barn into a wonderful home for the family. The doctors once told him that because of his bad knees, he would be in a wheelchair by the time he was 50. Although his knees were weak, he was well into retirement before he needed a walking stick and only required the occasional use of a wheelchair in the last year or so of his life. He was a lovely family man, a good husband, and a wonderful caring father. Now that is the natural side of our late beloved friend. I want to just bring before you the spiritual. He attended and was brought up to attend here from a baby, and attended all the 93 years, apart from when he was in the war, at this chapel, and sat under the ministry of the late beloved pastor, Mr. Sperling Tyler, for those 50 years. And I believe, according to what he has told me at different times, how his ministry during those years was made such a blessing to him, though he has not recorded any of it. But that is between his heart and the Lord. After the death of the late beloved pastor, he records a few of the blessings that the Lord favoured him with. And I will name the text. He hasn't dated the year of this, but love of God through Christ Jesus. And I believe the dear man knew those sweet tastes of the love of God. Secondly, this beautiful word, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And that was in 1999. And then a sermon that was read in 2002 in March, when he, the man with the unclean spirit, saw Jesus afar off and ran and worshipped him. It seems as though as he heard that sermon read, he felt like that man with the unclean spirit, but he knew what it was to worship the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And then in March 2002, he records a sermon that was preached by the Lord's dear servant here, Mr. David Cornford. And he says this. Mr. David Cornford preached from the Passover, March 2002. He spoke of the pure blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. I have never forgotten this sermon. I have always liked hymn 103, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness. Thou cannot always repeat all the verses, but they are the foundation of my hope for eternity. Many times have I thanked God for that sermon, that Lord's Day. I have a very deceitful heart, and sometimes I feel to be beyond salvation. But I feel that if that blood was shed for me, then all my sin, and he put this, would be swept away. But then he crossed it out and he put, are swept clean away. But then one further where he put here, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds to by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. This was a morning reading that he took, and as he read those words, they were made very precious to him. But we have something very beautiful here. He put here, and this was written in autumn 2016. And he says the following, to my dear Ruth, in a night in December, last was in a deep sleep, I had a dream, or more like a vision. I was standing at the edge of a vast expanse. It was endless, no horizon. It was like a gloomy twilight. It was awesome. It was heaving like a simmering pot. Every now and then, an arm or a leg would show up only to disappear again in the writhing mass. Someone was with me trying to explain, but I was overwhelmed by this endless, awesome, awful writhing and heaving, and I was afraid. Suddenly, on my right side, a voice, clear as crystal. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Immediately, the awful scene disappeared. I was full of rejoicing and praising God for the great love of the dear Lord Jesus as my Saviour and Rescuer. Only once in my memory had I heard that beautiful sentence before, and I had never done anything to deserve it. I began to understand the verse of the hymn 160. The dying thief rejoiced to see the fountain in his day, and there of I as vile as he washed all my sins away. When he was in hospital on one occasion, his dear wife wrote a card to him and sent it to him, wishing him well and healing mercies. And she's found the card, and he wrote in it, "Look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity join with power." He was a good hearer of the word. Many times when we have tried to preach over the years, we have felt he's drunk it in. He had a good hearing time those last two Sundays he was here. The first of them I tried to preach from these words, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." And beloved friends, he was full that morning. He said, "Oh, that is what I've got to do. Be not afraid." He feared something was coming. Of course, the great hour of death, though he knew it not, nor did we, was nigh at hand. The next Lord's Day, I preach from, "But my God shall supply all your need." There again he looked at me at the close of the service and said, "You know, I believe my God will supply all that I need." And I believe the Lord did. Now, in thinking of this service, and then I must leave it, but in thinking of this service, trying to pray the Lord would give me a word concerning it, I awoke yesterday morning in the New Forest with these words: "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright." For the end of that man is peace. And we blessedly believe that it was so with our beloved friend. And that was wonderfully confirmed last evening, because Mr. Buss preached here and he read Psalm 37 with it in it. And I thought, what a wonderful confirmation that was. Well, he got to that verse. "Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Now, beloved friends, the perfection was not in Aubrey Dan. The perfection was in his dear Redeemer. That's where he was sheltering, under that precious blood, under the finished work of his dear Redeemer. As we have said, that was his hope for time and for eternity. And one believes that the end of his life was peace, eternal peace. You know, there's only one source where real peace will come from. We hear many say, "Oh, well, we want peace." And we do in many ways. But it only flows through a precious Jesus and through his finished work and through his sin-atoning blood. And that's where our beloved friend's perfection was. There's no perfection in us because we are poor, fallen sinners. And when the Holy Spirit recorded that word, "Mark the perfect man," he was speaking of the dear Lord Jesus. And he was speaking too of those that are found in Christ. And think how solemn it'll be for you and for me when we come to the end, unless we're found in him. Not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply that to us. In conclusion, a word of warning. You and I must all die. There was no escape in this. We may escape many things while we are here in this earth, but we shall never escape the hour of death. And then there's a vast eternity. We must have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The hymn writer said, "How shall I stand in that great day?" May that be the great concern of every one of us here. as we come down to the swellings of Jordan, and none know how soon that will be. It will not be the funeral of our beloved friend, it will be ours. And all to be ready and prepared for it, waiting for his coming. May the Lord lay these solemn things deep in each of our hearts. Or may the Lord forgive anything that's been amiss. Let us sing the closing hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double kill. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. The third hymn.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do seek now thou wilt forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do wash us in that precious fountain that's open for sin and for uncleanness. Do be with us as we go to the open grave. We pray for that gracious upholding and supporting that our beloved sister will need and the dear family. And may they feel thy sweet presence there and all that sweet and blessed hope we have of our beloved friend. Do prepare us each for that great day. Now be with us, we ask it for Jesus' sake, and may his grace and the Father's love and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us, now and forevermore. Amen.